We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. How you guys doing today? Anyway, we're getting rain showers down south, looking Altus, Hollis, Mangum, Hobart, all kinds of good rain showers down there, and even south of Tipton, and Altus down there along the Red River, looks like they've got, what, 2 inches? And then up far north along the Kansas line, up around Freedom, May Ranch, up in that area, getting some really good rains up there. We got pretty good shower through here, through Beckham County. There's just this one little area, and I'll talk more about it later on the drought monitor, from Roger Mills County through parts of Custer County down in that area. They just are not getting the rains they need to be getting. So anyway, I was talking to a friend of mine over at Weatherford today, and he said they've been missing the rains like most everybody else is getting. And I thought he was full of it, to be honest with you, because Weatherford, when you get over in that area, that's like monsoon season compared to what we get over here one county over to the west. But the new drought monitor come out, I guess he wasn't lying. So anyway, we'll talk more about that later on. First of all, see if I can find my way back on this computer. Here we go. Here's some temperatures right now in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. Way out west at Kenton in the Oklahoma Panhandle, they are 84 degrees out there, 82 at Goodwell. But as you get further east, it cools down. Slap out your 73. Alva, your 71. Putnam, 68 degrees. And 67 at Cheyenne, home with a secret weapon. 68 down at Hollis and 64 at Hobart out here in the panhandle of Texas. Let's see what happened there. Oh, I messed that up. I have to fix that. Anyway, 70 degrees at Lipscomb, 68 degrees at McLean, 69 at Wellington, and 66 at Odell. Oh, anyway, good rain showers going up, are coming around. I think everything's kind of east Elk City now, and that area getting down and south of I-40. If you guys got some good rain showers and you want to share it with our listeners, the text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. Don't be lying about your rain totals. I think I just got up, not even before I left the house this morning, it just wet the ground. But it looks like according to the radar, we got pretty good rains through there, a couple 2 or 3 tenths. I'll take whatever we can get. More heavier rains coming on later on. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our big agriculture world, because everything is in the red today. Wheat futures plunged overnight on forecast for rainfall in several growing areas globally. Storms are expected to roll through the United States Southern Plains throughout the weekend. Do these forecasters and these paper pushers already know from basically Kansas south, the wheat is done. It's only going to do what it's going to do now. The rains are not going to help, but anything to change the market up. Little rain has fallen in much of this area the past month, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. Parts of the northern plains where spring wheat is being planted also should see some rain, boosting crop prospects, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist for Maxar. Rain should finally improve moisture in western central areas of the U.S. plains. Wind will also improve moisture in the north central spring wheat areas, he said in a note to clients. Precipitation also fell in parts of western Australia this week and should spread across some growing areas through Sunday. Kenny said the rainfall will finally boost soil moisture for wheat. He said wheat for July delivery dropped 12.5 cents to 680 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. And in Kansas City, futures dropped 12.75 cents to $7.07 a bushel. Corn futures were down 1.5 cents to 453.75. Soybean for July delivery fell 1.25 to 12.75 a bushel. Soy meal was up 240 to 371.50 a short ton, and soy oil declined 0.78 cents to 45.1 cent a pound. Exports of grains and legumes from Ukraine are up to 46.4 million metric tons since the beginning of the 23-24 marketing year that started last July, according to the country's Ministry of Policy and Food. That's up from 44.9 million tons the same time frame a year earlier. Shipments from the start of the month through May 29th totaled 4.94 million tons, up from 3 million the previous year. Corn shipments composed the bulk of the exports, totaling 26.2 million tons since the start of the marketing year and 3.31 million so far in May. Wheat exports from Ukraine were reported at 17.2 million tons and 1.4 million tons so far in the 23-24 and in May, respectively. The agency said that's up from 15.4 million tons a year earlier and 980,000 tons in the same month a year ago. Barley shipments since the beginning of July are now at 2.38 million metric tons, down from 2.6 million. What's the weather going to do? Well, let's check it out. And I'm talking about through our whole agriculture belt, the farm belt, we call it. Severe thunderstorms are rolling through the southern plains this morning and are forecast to continue into the weekend, according to the National Weather Service. Hail the size of tennis balls and winds gusting up to 70 miles an hour in parts of the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle are the primary hazards associated with these storms. In addition, an isolated tornado cannot be ruled out. According to the National Weather Service, the strongest storms will be capable of producing very heavy rainfall, which may lead to flooding or flash flooding. Flood warnings remain in effect for counties on the Mississippi River along the Missouri-Illinois border. The river was at 17.8 feet near Hannibal, Missouri. I've been there. I've haunted there. Yesterday evening, already topping the flood stage at 17 feet. The waterway will crest at 18.3 feet on Saturday and Sunday before retreating if they don't get any more rainfall. Everybody says, well, that's only 8 inches above the flood stage. Dude, that's a big river. Think about it. That's a lot of water in 8 inches. What else we got going on before we coming up here in our next segment? I'll have your Lipscomb's Dealerships Ag Market Update, plus Hobart Stockyards results from yesterday. And while I'm thinking about it, 10:30 Saturday morning, Hobart Stockyards, they're going to be having their goat sheep sale coming up this Saturday. Was that June 1st, June 2nd? What is it? Yeah. Anyway, Saturday, first part of June. How's that? Anyway, they're having that goat sheep sale coming up at 10:30. For more information, contact the Hobart Stockyards down there. They'll help you out on that. But we'll check out what they happened there and at the Beaver Stockyards up in the Panhandle, Oklahoma, coming up next segment after the Lipscomb's Dealership Ag Market Update. And I seen a lot of red in there when I glanced at it about 15 minutes ago. All right, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Finish. Feeding Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, Cross-Brand Horse Feed, Antler Max Deer Protein, and so much more. CNH also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free biodegradable lick tubs. CNH Feeding Supply is the place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. CNH, serving the area since 1926. Visit your local CNH and they'll get you all fixed up.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oklahoma Bank and Trust has been your community bank since 1908. For over 110 years, we've been working hard to serve the banking needs of the people in our community. At Oklahoma Bank, our customers aren't just account numbers, they're our friends and neighbors. We offer all the products and services you'd expect from a bank, from checking and saving accounts to loans for your home, auto, or business. Come by our Clinton or Arapahoe branch to discuss how we can tailor our offerings to meet your needs. OB&T, your friendly bank since 1908. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance, is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out some weather over here in the Texas Panhandle. Let's just go with Miami, not Miami, Miami. Right now it's 73 degrees, relative humidity, 55 degrees, dew points at 56. Winds are out of southwest at 10 with gust up to 33. Peak wind gust today, 53 miles an hour. I don't know if any of you guys, especially in Beckham County, was standing outside your vehicle or outside this morning about 7:15, but that when that wind hit off that storm down south, holy moly, she was moving those trees one way or the other. Anyway, month-to-date precipitation, 2.17 inches of rain, 8-inch soil temperature, 71 degrees. All right, let's check out the Lipscomb's Auto Dealerships Ag Market Update coming up here. Ain't much changed either. Grains, corn, July, 449, down 5.5. September, 458, down 6.75. Soybeans for July, 12.12. Down, what is it, 1.75. August, 12.11, down 2.5. Soybean meal, July. 364.90, down 420. August, 360, down 340. Soybean oil for July, 45.79, down 0.09. August, 46.04, down 0.10. Hard red winter wheat, July, 707, down 12. September, 721, down 12 and a quarter. Cotton is taking a big hit. What's up with that? Talk to me, some of you cotton farmers. Why all of a sudden, I know prices aren't great, but to take a big old hit like this. July, 77.50, down 360. October, 77.92, down 240. Oil from West Texas, 77.82, down 141. And natural gas, July, 262, down 0.04. Live cattle for July, 183.02, down 32. August, 179.90, down 30. Feeder cattle, August, 259.25, down $1 even. September, 260.90, down 90. October, 261.67, down 87. Lean hogs, I think, are the only thing on the board right now besides milk that's in the green. June, lean hogs, 94.37 down, or up 60. July, 97.20, up 87. The Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, all in the red today. So there you go. There's your Lipscomb's Dealerships Ag Market Update. Okay, I have it here somewhere. Where's my email? There we go. Let's see here. Yesterday, at Hobart, not sure how many head they had here, but steers weighing 4 to 5 were bringing up to, that can't be right. Bear with me a second here. Yeah, miscue here. Anyway, let's go to the 6 to 7 weight steers where I know that's right. 277. Here's the 5 to 6s weighing 295. And then any steers, heifers, 5 to 6 weights bringing up to 237, 7 to 8 weights bringing up to 227, and then we had some bred heifers bringing 1150, and then we had some cows, these must be slaughter cows, up to 147s top end, and then bulls, what we got here? Up to 174. Sorry. Anyway, looks like bred pairs were bringing up to 2,800 and bred cows were bringing up to 2,000. So there we got it. Got that going on. All right. What happened at Beaver Tuesday? I didn't have time to do it yesterday and I wanted to follow it up with the cause of my Northwestern Oklahoma buddies here. Okay. I'm going to get back to page one. Bred heifers were bringing up to $1,800. They looked like there was 6 head of them weighing 948. Brought $1,529 a head. Bull calves looking here. Bull calves about this. These were big bull calves weighing 2,230. Looked like that was top end. Brought $1.75. It brought $3,902. But they had 41 head of bulls, average weight 1673, average price 154.53, average per head $2,585. Let's see here. Let me get back down here. Some bull calves weighing 499, 291.21 per pound, 1453 per head. Cows. Let me get down. They had quite a few cows. 202 cows, average weight 1118, average price 140.59, average price per cow 1571 per head. Heifer calves 233 head, average weight 459, average price 284.13, 1303.05 per head. Let's see here. Let's get down to the next one. It's a pretty cool report they have. Actually, this defines everything. Heifer yearlings, 966 head, average weight 770 pounds per head, $229.02 per pound, $1,762.35 per head. It looked like they only had about three pair, and they brought $1,991 per pair. And what do we got here? Steer calves, 482 was the average weight. Average price, $330.65 per pound or per hundredweight, $1,595 per head. And then we get down to the big boys. Steer yearlings, 1,530 head. Average weight, 968. Average price, $226.85. Average price per steer yearling, $2,195.52. They had a good sale up there at almost, I guess I'm just taking a guess here, looking at these numbers, they had over 3,000 head at Beaver Tuesday. So anyway, good job up there. Anyway, let's take a quick look at the current drought market before we go to our next break. So the drought has expanded in northwestern Oklahoma, even with some of the rain that they've been having, all Oklahoma's been having. But if you look on the new drought monitor map that came out today, this morning, you'll see this big dog leg down there at the bottom of it in Oklahoma, and it stretches across Roger Mills County, parts of Custer, and a little bit into Warsaw County. Anyway, so my old buddy over there at Weatherford was telling me, we've been missing them rains, you guys. I was like, yeah, anyway, because that's like I said, Amazon forest over there. But anyway, it's true. There's a little deal in there. It's a D1 drought now. The D2 drought in northwestern Oklahoma and a big portion of Kansas has expanded. Matter of fact, there's some D3 extreme drought starting to show up in spots in parts of Kansas. Nothing major in Oklahoma at the moment, and you know how that can change. Anyway, of course, southern New Mexico and southwestern Texas over there in the panhandle, not the whatever they call that thing over there in, by El Paso and that area in there, it's got some D2, D3 and D4 going on. So anyway, nothing major going on with the drought in Oklahoma though. In the panhandle of Texas though, that white has disappeared, and now it's going into a D0, which is abnormally dry, or a flash drought going on. Other than that, according to the Oklahoma Mesonet, up to 3 inches of rain can fall out here in western Oklahoma and eastern Texas panhandle through Sunday. So keep your fingers crossed. A lot of ponds are still dry. As a matter of fact, I ask a gentleman, let me check his text line out here and see what's all going on there. Cheyenne's had a quarter of an inch, and the person from Cheyenne says had 0.25 inches, a quarter of an inch since the 13th, and that was Tuesday night. How much has southwestern Oklahoma had? Seems it's red on the radar about every time. And I look at it, but this creates other problems with the hail and the tornadoes. Just curious. Yes, I'll check that out during the break. At Russell, is that in Greer County or Jackson? That's got to be in Greer, doesn't it? Russell, Oklahoma, has 7.2 inches of rain so far this month. And some people, where are we at? There we go. Anyway. My old friend up there at Bayside, northwest of Bayside, they've had 0.31 of an inch so far. And then I asked the person at Russell if their ponds are full, and they said yes. But guess what? The place, my place, just north of Reed up in that area, the ponds are not full. Matter of fact, they're low. They need some rain. Hopefully they get some today. All right, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We come back, we'll talk more agriculture. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-608-0955. 800-608-0955. 800-608-0955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
What are the differences from one tire to another? An X brand versus a Y brand? Are they really different?
Yes, there is differences. I mean, the quality, some of the materials is not as high grade. Bridgestone, Firestone, Michelin are all top quality.
Does that mean they last longer?
If they're cared for properly.
Okay, what is proper care for tires?
Rotating the tires every, you know, say 10,000 miles. You know, running the proper air pressure, of course.
Modern cars have these sensors.
Correct.
Are the sensors reliable, or do people need to manually check the tires?
They are reliable, but if you have the tires rotated or balanced, you do need to make sure that they are still working properly after that.
So what's the best way to do that?
Physically check your tires and see if it matches what the computer says. L&R Tire, 1204 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma.
The home of Bridgestone Firestone Tires.
At L&R Tire, we'll take good care of your vehicle.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, excuse me. All right, welcome back. Here is your Northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. Camargo, 70 degrees. Dew point 63, humidity 78. The winds are out of south-southwest at 11 miles an hour. Today's rain total, or the last 24 hours, I mean, is 25 one-hundredths of an inch. In the last 10 days, you've had 9-tenths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 76 degrees. Sunset at 8:47. 50% chance of thunderstorms and 82 for a high today. Tonight, 90% chance of rain showers, 60 for a low. Tomorrow, Friday, chance of thunderstorms, 80 degrees. 50% chance. And that's your ag weather update for Camargo, Oklahoma. That little store still open up there that makes them bad to the bone hamburgers up there. I haven't been up there since I fractured that one well up there on, who was that? Colan? Yeah, somewhere up in there. I did a couple of them, actually. Three of them to be exact. And so anyway, got to eating in there quite a bit. They make one day they had chicken fried steaks. It just melt in your mouth. So anyway, I don't even know if they're still cooking in there. I was just wondering. That's why I'm asking. Okay, well, yesterday it was brought to my attention about pool parties for farmers. And so I ran across this article that I thought I would share with you guys because old RH, he made me think about this. What makes your farm a unique place to work? Think about this. If you guys got an opinion of the, you guys that have hired hands on your farm, why is your place such a cool place to work at? Or if you work on a farm, what makes it such a cool place to work for? Text line, the agriculture text line is always open at 225-9697. I'd like to hear what your opinion is. Good help is hard to find. It's a saying we've all heard and likely repeated many times. While it's true that finding skilled labor is a major challenge, there are strategies farmers can use to make their operations more attractive workplaces. And I'm not talking about new tractors or new combines and all that. There's more to it than just running equipment. So here's the good news. It doesn't necessarily require offering higher pay. According to Mary Lewis, a management development specialist at Cornell University, farm workers will often shop around and price compare when it comes to finding a place of employment that checks all their boxes. Wait till we get some of these boxes here. Therefore, clearly listing the unique benefits your operation offers beyond the hourly pay rate is the strategy every farmer should implement. The information could make all the difference to an employee who needs more buy-in and begins before the interview process, Lewis says. This knowledge can be posted on a wall and often reviewed with current employees. Your current employees are the loudest advocates and recruiters of the farm. When your employees discuss job openings, you want to ensure they emphasize all benefits of working on the farm, not just the hourly wage. She provides this following benefits your farm could potentially offer to outshine the competition. Vacation days, paid time off, sick days, pizza parties, or after the conversation I had with some people yesterday, maybe some pool parties, show off your farmer's tans, I don't know. Housing with free utilities, Wi-Fi, direct TV, etc. Bonuses, insurance plan, access to free beverages during the night and day shifts, transportation to the farm or access to a work truck or vehicle, transportation to health visits, grocery store, etc. Opportunities for overtime hours, advanced technology equipment on the farm to make their jobs easier, opportunities for advancement within the farm, higher paid positions for supervisors or trainers, paid professional, and that doesn't mean if you train the grandkids, the boss's grandkids, you're not going to get any extra money. It's part of your job description. If the boss wants his grandkid to run that tractor, by golly, you show him how to do it. Paid professional growth through training, educational classes, paid English classes, safety supplies, safety training, uniforms, FR, stuff like that. No, I'm just kidding. Any free produce, beef, apples, or products that come from their hard work on the farm. A good, non-toxic, friendly, and respectful workplace. A family environment with long-term employees that are celebrated and rewarded for their service. And most of all, a highly involved, kind, and humble boss who sincerely really does care. It's no secret workers are most likely to be satisfied and stay longer if they feel valued beyond their paychecks. Jot down what unique benefits would be feasible for your operation and work to make them come to life. You just might find it is not so hard to keep good help after all. How about that pool party, RH? Would you stay? Would you be employed by somebody that puts on a pool party here at the Elk City pool every month, maybe every month during the summer, one day a month, and provides dry towels and flip-flops and open your door when you pull in front of the pool house? Is that what you're after? But anyway, or you'd rather have a pizza party? So anyway, we'll find out. We'll find out sooner or later. I'm sure something's going to comment here Anyway, I'm going to finish out this segment here with some garden tips. We haven't talked about gardening this this week, and it is garden season, gardening season. So I'm just going to keep talking about it, man. It's agriculture. Just FYI, I got lots of tomatoes that are baseball size going on already, and just waiting for them to start that ripening process. So what, I got four of those anyway. All right. So as we move into summer months, outside temperatures are steadily increasing, and for gardeners across the whole country, including Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle and the Oklahoma Panhandle. When I say Oklahoma, I'm talking about you guys up there. Don't be offended that I don't say the Oklahoma Panhandle sometimes. These warmer temperatures are generously welcomed by northern gardeners who can finally start planting. Now we're talking about you northerns up there. Let's see, we'll take north of Roger Mills County, Ellis, Harmon, not Harmon, but Laverne up in that area. Woods County, you guys are the northerns here. But for gardeners in warmer climates, this means that some changes in strategy might be needed. In humid climates, warmer weather means the disease pressure will begin to increase. Common garden fungal diseases like powdery mildew and downy mildew will start to appear on a wide range of plants, especially corporate squash, cucumbers, and watermelons are particularly susceptible to those fungal diseases as humidity and outside temperatures increase. Warmer temperatures also mean that insects will grow faster and reproduce faster. Stop right there. Yesterday, I went out to the garden by where the onions and the potatoes are growing, and I just planted some cantaloupes and watermelons out there last weekend, and I hate bull nettles. Well, anyway, there was some coming up. As I was pulling these bull nettles up, it caught my attention. Then I started looking at the bottom of each one of them. Those bull nettle leaves had a major crop of eggs on the bottom of those leaves. They're orange. I don't know if those are potato bugs, because I think squash bugs are black. But anyway, there was a major, I pulled 40, 50 bull nettles around the edge of the garden. They weren't even 6 inches tall, but on the bottom of those leaves were just solid orange eggs. I don't know what those is or are. Can anybody help me out? Because I really think squash bugs, maybe they are potato bugs or whatever they are, but anyway, squash bugs are black. So anyway, caught me way off guard. Well, anyway, they smear really cool. When you blend orange eggs in with green leaves, they make a greenish blue color. Anyway, warmer temperatures also mean that insects will grow faster and reproduce faster. And once those problematic insects like squash bugs start reproducing in your garden, it can often mean the end for a row of bed or plants. If possible, try to eliminate the adults either through the hand removal or spraying before they're able to reproduce. Amen. Despite all this bad news, there are things that we can do to improve our chances of success as we move into the hot summer months. Below, we're going to discuss briefly five strategies that can help you be more successful in your backyard garden or your big one, despite the overwhelming heat. Succession planning. Because our warm growing season is so long, we're big fans of succession planning, especially when it comes to squash and cucumbers. We usually have two or three plantings of these delicious garden treats between April and late June. Don't be afraid to pull up plants that are making fruit and replant. No big deal. Planting disease-resistant varieties for any vegetable you want to grow in your backyard garden. There are tons of different varieties to choose from. So some are older heirloom varieties that many grow for the flavor, but they have the ability to save seeds, and they are improved. So check that out. Know when to call it quits. Removing a plant that's still producing can be one of the toughest things for a gardener to do, but it's something that will benefit your garden greatly in the long haul. When plants start going downhill because of heat stress, pull it out, start another one. Not easy. Here's one of the most important ones. I really think that is the most important one. Minimize overhead watering. We can't control how much it rains, but we can control how much water we put on our plant leaves. Leaf moisture is a big contributing factor to many of the disease issues we see on vegetable plants in the summer. If we can keep the leaf moisture to a minimum, we can get much more out of our plants. We do this mainly using a drip irrigation in our in-ground and raised bed gardens, although the task of installing a drip system may seem daunting for a beginner, but it is well worth it. I'm telling you guys, I've gone to 90% the drip system, and I built me a manifold. I got a water hose tied into this 2-inch manifold, and a lot of you guys got that because you've got these raised beds with plastic on it. But I do it throughout my whole garden now. Lay the drip system down, test it. Sandy helped me out there cleaning out all those lines I've got running through mine. But if you do go to a drip system, remember this. Most of your drip line that we have nowadays is like, what, 5/8, half inch, 5/8 with you can get notches in them every 8 inches or 12 inches. Anyway, remember this. It only puts 0.34 gallons of a minute. They are per minute, 0.34 gallons per minute through that line at 100 feet. So don't go out there like you do a sprinkler and turn it on for a couple hours and turn it off. Don't do that. Think about how much water is going through there. I learned that the hard way, but I was like, man, it's been running 4 hours. That's plenty of water. Ain't going to happen. I turn it on for 8, 6, 8, 10, 12, sometimes 14, 16 hours to get the right amount of water done. But there's not that much water going through there. So don't think you're overwatering your deal. And last thing before we go to break, feed your plants. Healthy plants are more resilient, simple as that. A plant with dark green leaves will be able to withstand disease pressure much more than a plant with light green leaves. Feed your plants every 2 weeks, and I disagree with that. Feed your plant every 5 to 7 days. Spoon feed. And you wouldn't believe what my tomatoes look like right now. They are. I'm bragging. Yeah, I'm bragging. I don't know if they're going to make very good fruit, but they look good. But anyway, they're dark green, and I feed them every 4 to 5 days, just a little bit, not a whole bunch. And just spoon feed them like a baby. And they look good. So anyway, I hope that helps you guys out. If you got any questions on like your drip system, get on YouTube, put in there drip system for gardens, and find the one you like the most. But they're easy to put in. All right, let's go ahead and take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com. High
cotton. They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 20th. 1,755 head were sold. 3 head of steers at $4.92 brought $3.07. 7 at $5.99 brought $2.96. 12 at $6.48 brought $2.88. 28 at $8.33 brought $2.42. 33 at $9.25 brought $2.24.75. 10 at $11.21 brought $2.02. 8 head of heifers at $4.73 brought $3.01. 4 at $5.13 brought $2.95. 10 at $6.10 brought $2.42. 19 at $8.19 brought $2.21. 18 at $8.29 brought $2.19. 9 at $8.38 brought $2.20.50. 38 at $8.50 brought $2.19. Butcher cows were 81 to 145. Butcher bulls brought 139 at 182. Pairs were 1,700 to 3,100. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auctions. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Man, we got some good responses working for somebody, on farmer. We'll go over there here in a little bit. Anyway, Russell, Oklahoma, 68 degrees. Dew point 62, humidity's 80%. 10 mile winds out of south southwest at 13 miles an hour. 24 hour rain total 73 one-hundredths of an inch, 1.69 inches in the last couple of weeks, or week and a half, actually, 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 78 degrees, sunset at 8:45 tonight, 50% chance of thunderstorms today, 84 for a high. You're going to have to hurry to get from 68 to 84. Sun better come out. Rain showers tonight, 80% chance. Tomorrow, 60% chance of rain showers, and 81 for a high. Okay, I want to pass this along. We talked about it last year. Let's talk about it again. I hope you're listening, because here in about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to have a district attorney on here to talk about this. So last week I talked about rivers. Doesn't matter whether it's Salt Fork, Elm Fork, Elk Creek, North Fork of the Red River, South Canadian, North Canadian, Cimarron, it doesn't matter. You can be Beaver River up there by Beaver. Anyway, who has the right to be in the water, on the water, around the water, whatever? On private land, from what you can read on the laws of Oklahoma, is if it's a non-navigable, did I say that right? Can't be on a navigating, how's that? Water, which I read those 10 off, and none of them's out here in Western Oklahoma. And then, yes, you have the right to be on that water in a boat, but if it's private land, you cannot set foot on that land. You cannot put your toe in the sand or nothing. That doesn't cover these rivers out here as far as what the law says. I'm talking about waters, rivers that are navigable. Anyway, so instead of fighting, having verbal arguments over this and wondering who's right and who's wrong, we are going to get somebody on here that's going to prosecute you for trespassing here, and hopefully next month. They're busy people, and whoever's going to be prosecuting you should know the law. So that's what we're going to do. But anyway, summer's here, and we have people running up and down the rivers on their four-wheelers and rangers. Most of them have permission or own the land, and that's cool. But anyway, please respect all landowners up and down any river in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. I actually don't know what the laws are in Texas. I can't see them being a whole lot different than Oklahoma. They're probably stricter over in Texas than they are in Oklahoma. Catch you, buddy, I'm going to shoot you. That's their law probably. But anyway, please be respectful to private land. If you don't have permission to be on there, don't plow through those water gaps. You have no clue how hard it is to find cattle on the river that get out off your land onto somebody else's. They can go 6 miles down that river through because somebody's busted the water gaps out. So please be respectful to the landowners that own land. If you got permission to be on this stretch of a river, go for it. But that don't give you permission to trespass. And a lot of cameras are up, and now they've changed that law where it's $500 fine. You get caught trespassing on other people's land. So anyway, I know some of these landowners are going to prosecute, period. So just be respectful. Pass that along to your kids and your grandkids and make sure they respect other landowners' rights. But like I said, coming up here in about a month, we're going to get down because I even talked to the wildlife department. And anyway, it's a big can of worms. And we're going to open that sucker up next month. So get ready. Let's see. Let's check out the text line. So here you go. Let me back up here. These are responses like from employees, it looks like. Hang on here. There we go. Cold beer and good food makes me want to help that farmer. Getting a paycheck on Friday and not having to chase that farmer down to get paid is a big thing. And then RH says, whatever you say, Jimmy. And then on another subject here, up there in the suburbs of Salt Springs, 10 miles west of Freedom, Oklahoma, they've got a half inch of rain. And then to help out on a garden tip here, I found that an oscillating sprinkler helps squash and zucchini set blooms when it doesn't cool off much at night. Thank you. Didn't know that. Pretty cool. So there you go. Some awful deals here. Okay, and then, let's go here. Use farm equipment according to Machinery Pete. That's Greg Peterson for you guys that don't know him. Demand for pre-death tractors is still strong according to Machinery Pete. And there are some in the market that think farmers should maybe consider the potential to score attractive sales promos later in the season. Pre-death is a term used to refer to tractor models that do not have the government mandated fuel in it. Anyway, models containing these systems are often more complex to repair and troubleshoot. And that's one of the biggest complaints I do hear from farmers that have. The demand is still strong, but I would say that maybe the edge is a little bit off the market, Peterson said. He said pre-death tractors, the very, very nicest ones, are still attracting tons of buying interest. Speaking of interest, high interest rates combined with low commodity prices are among the factors that may entice equipment dealers to roll out some aggressive special offers later on this summer. Also consider that brand new equipment remains expensive and will stay that way for the foreseeable future. And farm equipment sales are cooling down as farmers focus on what they do best, planting, spreading, and spraying with what they have on the farm. And then seemingly before anyone can complain, boom, the summer's over and the time crunch of harvest season is here. For some, the local dealer lot is the furthest thing from their mind during all-out sprint. That's why they have inside salespeople. So when you come get parts, like, hey, Larry, if you see this tractor I got here on the lot, come on. You're here already, man. I got to get back and fix this car. Nah, come on. Come on. Come out here. I it won't take but a minute. Half a million later, your wife's not in a very good mood. With some dealer lots reportedly stocked full of shining like new and new iron that has just been well setting around the most of the summer into the fall, this is a sense that dealers could try to reprime the market by incentivizing some buyers. Some of these larger dealer groups, they quickly pivot. Peterson said they're still sell you the new stuff, but I mean, their head is on moving used. That's clear. They know that one of the levers they have already available is maybe some attractive financing offers, whether that's on a used combine, a used tractor, high or small horsepower, he adds. So I think we're seeing more of that now. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that for the rest of 2024, according to him. Too many used equipment auctions to track. Get a penny news. There's all kinds of equipment in there coming up for auction. Anyway, you guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.